once again. I welcome all of you once again. Thank you everyone for joining today's Bhagavatam class. And we are really fortunate to have His Grace Radha Vallabh Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam from a 5.8.14 onwards. So we are really happy to have Prabhuji. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept our humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Are you able to hear me? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhuji, we are able to hear
okay.
you.
Okay.
We are really fortunate to have you on this call, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. You can take over. Hare Krishna.
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरोन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टम् स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं तदाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तां सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांचा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा आई होप यू आर एबल टू हियर मी क्लियरली इफ देयर इज एनी प्रॉब्लम इन द audio, then you can let me know. Then I will switch up the video at that time. So we are going to discuss from the 5th canto, 8th chapter, 14th verse, the life of Bharat Maharaj. I'll read the verse. Kriyayam nirvartya manayam antaralepi uttayottaya yadainam abhichakshita tarhi vava sa varshapatihi prakritistena manasa tasma ashisha ashaste swasti stad vatsate sarvata iti. Word to word translation. Kriyayam, the activities of worshipping the Lord or performing ritualistic ceremonies. Nirvartya manayam, even without finishing. Antarale, at intervals in the middle. Api, although. Uttaya, repeatedly getting up. Yada, when. Yenam, the deer calf. Abhichakshita, would see. Tarhi vava, at that time. Saha hi, Varshapatihi, Maharaj Bharata. Prakriti stena, happy. Manasa, within his mind. Tasmai, unto it. Ashisha, ashaste, bestows benedictions. Swasti, all auspiciousness. Stath, let there be. Vatsa, O my dear calf. Te, unto you. Sarvataha, in all respects. Ititas. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. When Maharaj Bharata was actually worshipping the Lord or was engaged in some ritualistic ceremony, although his activities were unfinished, he would still at intervals get up and see where the deer was. In this way, he would look for it. And when he could see that the deer was comfortably situated, his mind and heart would be very satisfied. And he would bestow his blessings upon the deer, saying, my dear calf, may you be happy in all respects. Purport. Because his attraction for the deer was so intense, Bharat Maharaj could not concentrate upon worshipping the Lord or performing his ritualistic ceremonies. Even though he was engaged in worshipping the deity, his mind was restless due to his inordinate affection. While trying to meditate, he would simply think of the deer, wondering where it had gone. In other words, if one's mind is distracted from worship, a mere show of worship will not be of any benefit. The fact that Bharat Maharaj had to get up at intervals to look for the deer was simply a sign that he had fallen down from the spiritual platform. Hare Krishna. So thank you all the devotees for giving this opportunity to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam. So we are discussing, I'll discuss something on this particular verse and then maybe I will also speak whatever time we have about the Panihati festival. So Bharat Maharaj, he was actually worshipping the Lord, but in the midst of worshipping the Lord, he would get up and gaze at the deer and he would offer blessings to the deer. May you be happy, all blessings unto you. So, and then when by seeing the deer, Bharat Maharaj would become happy. So here, this is a very profound section of the Srimad Bhagavatam about the life of Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj, he has fallen victim to the, at this stage in the Bhagavatam, he has fallen victim to the material compassion towards the deer. And that compassion towards the deer is distracting him from his devotional service. There are, for example, sometimes various kinds of distractions are described in the by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Haridas Thakur, while chanting the holy names. Here is an example how Bharat Maharaj got distracted while performing devotional service. For example, in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, Yashoda and Rohini, they would be cooking. But when they would be cooking, although they would be cooking in the kitchen, but their mind would be on Krishna and Balaram. Shringagni Damshri Asijala Dvija Kantakebhya Krida Parav Atichalau Swasutav Nisheddum Grihyani Kartum Apiyatra Natajananyav Shekata Apaturalam Manasona Vastam. So Mother Yashoda and Rohini, when they were unable to protect the babies from the calamities threatened by some horned cows or by fire or by animals with claws and teeth such as monkeys, dogs and cats, and by thorns, swords and other weapons on the ground. So Mother Yashoda and Rohini, they would be cooking in the kitchen, but they were always in anxiety. Maybe Krishna and Balaram are pierced by certain animals, or they would go and touch some fire or some other birds would come and actually prick them. So they were always in anxiety. Because of that, they were unable to perform their household engagements properly. So in between the cooking, they would come out and then see whether Krishna and Balaram are proper. They are safe or not. And then again they would go to kitchen to attend to the certain cooking items. Then after a few seconds, again they would be disturbed what Krishna and Balaram are doing. Again they would come out. In this way, they were also distracted in one sense. But their distraction was from their household duties. But their minds were focused on Krishna. They were distracted from their duties because their minds were fully focused on Krishna. In fact, Bhagavatam says that at that time, they were fully equipoised in transcendental ecstasy, which is known as the distress of material affection. For this was aroused within their minds. So they were also in anxiety, just like Bharat Maharaj was in anxiety. Bharat Maharaj was worshipping Krishna, but his mind was not focused on the worship. His mind was on the deer. So he was constantly in anxiety where the deer has gone. Yashoda and Rohini, they were performing their cooking and household engagements, but their minds were on Krishna and they were constantly in anxiety whether Krishna and Balaram are safe. So that this is a contrast between Mother Yashoda, Rohini and Bharat Maharaj. So there is in the spiritual world is called as Vaikuntha, the place where there is no anxiety. But actually even in the spiritual world there is anxiety. But anxiety is on the spiritual platform which is focused on Krishna. But Bharat Maharaj, he was performing the spiritual activities, but he became victim to material consciousness. His mind became anxious about the safety of the deer. So sometimes we may be performing a spiritual activity, but with a material consciousness. We may be performing devotional service, but with a karmakanda mentality or with a mentality of a jnani. So here, the Bharat Maharaj was performing spiritual activities, but his mind was influenced by material anxiety. And for each of us, that material anxiety may vary from different objects. It could be Bharat Maharaj, it was a deer for us, everyone. It could be different other things. a simple thing which may be common for everyone could be the smartphone or something else. So, like just contrasting how the Bharat Maharaj character with other verses of the Bhagavatam. There is some verse, I think maybe in this chapter it came before or later. Bharat Maharaj, he was searching for the deer and then he was unable to find the deer, but he saw the footprints of the deer. When he saw the footprints of the deer, he said that, oh, the earth is so fortunate, the earth is decorated with the footprints of the deer. The earth has become so sanctified because of having these footprints of the deer that the earth has become a fit place for performing sacrifice. This is Bharat Maharaj's consciousness on seeing the footprints of the deer on the earth. But the same Mother Earth, in the first canto, when Mother Earth is having a conversation with Dharma personified, Mother Earth said that Brahmadayo Bahutitam Yadapanga Moksha Kamas Tapas Samacharan Bhagavat Prapanna Sashri Swavasam Aravinda Vanam Vihaya Yat Pada Saubhagamalam Bhajate Nurakta Tasyabjam Abja Kulishang Kushaketu Ketai Srimat Padair Bhagavata Samalankritangi Trinatya Rocha Upalabhya Tato Vibhutim Lokan Samam Vyasrajadutsmayatim Tadante. Mother Earth is telling about the reason for her distress. She says that Lakshmi Devi, whose glance is sought by the devatas like Brahma and for whom they surrendered many a day unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that Lakshmi Devi gave up her own abode and engaged herself in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord. And I myself was endowed with the specific powers to supersede the fortune of all the three planetary systems. Why? I was so fortunate that I had such power to supersede all the entire three planetary systems. Why? Because of being decorated with the footprints of Krishna. But when I felt I was so fortunate, I am being decorated with the footprints of Krishna, the Lord suddenly wound up his pastimes and disappeared from this world. So Mother Earth, her greatest source of happiness was that she was decorated with the footprints of Krishna. But Bharat Maharaj thought that the earth is fortunate because the earth is decorated with the footprints of the deer. And the gopis in the 10th canto, when Krishna suddenly disappeared from their midst during the Rasalila pastimes, when the gopis were frantically searching for Krishna. At that time, the gopis were asking each and every person in that forest. Just like in the Krishna Leela, we see the gopis were like asking the trees and the plants and the animals about where is Krishna. In the Ramayana, when Sita was kidnapped, Ram was frantically looking for Sita. And Ram was mad, in a state of madness. He was asking the trees and the rivers and the creepers of the Dandakaranya forest about the whereabouts of Sita. So when the gopis were asking everyone, and the gopis saw the earth, and the gopis said, Kim te kritam kshititapo batakesha vangri Sparshot Savot Pulakitangana Hair Vibasi Apyangri Sambhava Guru Krama Vikramadva Aho Varaha Vapusha Parirambanena. The gopis, by seeing the earth, they said, Oh Mother Earth, What austerity did you perform to attain the touch of the Lord Keshava's lotus feet, which has brought you such great joy that your bodily hairs are standing on end? In fact, you appear so beautiful in this condition. Did you attain this ecstasy? Did you attain this fortune during Krishna's current appearance? Did you attain this ecstatic symptom during Krishna's current appearance? Or when Lord appeared as Vamanadev, at that time when he stepped upon you, did you attain that ecstasy at that time? Or when the Lord appeared as Varagadev, when he embraced you in the form of the deer, did you attain that ecstatic symptom from that time? So please tell us actually what austerity you perform to attain this contact of the Lord's lotus feet. You are so fortunate wherever Krishna may be, but Krishna is never out of touch with you. You are always in contact with Krishna. So we also want to perform the same austerities which you performed in order to get that fortune. So we can see could be the same situation. The gopis were seeing the, say, footprints of Krishna on the earth, or the earth is actually seeing the footprints of Krishna, and that Bharat Maharaj is seeing the footprints of the deer on the earth. So depending on what we are focused on, we may one actually has a different, depending on our consciousness, we may see the similar situation, but every person has a different thought process. Bharat Maharaj thought the earth is fortunate because of the footprints of the deer. But deer thought that I am so fortunate because I was decorated with the footprints of the Supreme Lord. And the gopis were recognizing that earth's fortune. So, as we say that when a person wears a blue colored glass, he sees everything blue. So when we see the world with our eyes of attachment, so we see the world with our own perspective through those eyes of attachment, to the colored vision. So Bharat Maharaj was seeing the world with his colored vision of attachment towards the deer. And because there will be many points which have been discussed in this connection. So, in the case of Bharat Maharaj, we can see that when a person actually practices Bhakti Yoga, a person becomes soft-hearted. But sometimes that soft-heartedness, one can get carried away by that soft-heartedness, that one can fall victim to some mundane compassion. So, essentially, we can see, even when a person is advancing, one should not fall victim to soft-heartedness. At the same time, in the name of being focused on the sadhana, one should not be hard-hearted also. Let us see some examples. If we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's example, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wanted to go to South India. As a sannyasi, he wanted to perform his dharma. He had to travel and then distribute the holy names. But the Sarvam Bhattacharya was not allowing only. The devotees were not allowing. And when Mahaprabhu was leaving Jagannath Puri, Sarvam Bhattacharya, he actually fell down. He became unconscious. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not even look behind to see whether Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sarvam Bhattacharya, is alive or not. He just went ahead. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to go to Vrindavan, the devotees were somehow delaying Mahaprabhu, and Gadadhar Pandit was coming along with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu told Gadadhar Pandit that you have taken a vow of Kshetra Sannyas, you must not leave Jagannath Puri. But Gadadhar Pandit was not listening only. He said, like, there's a beautiful conversation. Gadadhar Pandit says, like, wherever you are there, that is Vrindavan. So if I am there with you, I am in Vrindavan, I am in Jagannath Puri, I am in Vaikuntha, that is Vrindavan. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that, like, you cannot break the, because one of the name of Krishna is Achyuta. Achyuta means one who never fails to protect the vows taken by the devotee. Nashtamoho smritirlatva tvatprasadat mayachyuta. Arjuna says that now my illusion is dispelled. Now my memory is regained. Memory is regained means I have regained the my memory of what vows I had taken, the vows which Bhimasen had taken. So Achyuta means one who never fails to protect the vows taken by the devotees. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to protect the vows of Gadadhar Pandit, but the Gadadhar Pandit was like adamant, he was wanting to come with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At a certain point, Mahaprabhu left Gadadhar Pandit, he just crossed the river. At that time, Gadadhar Pandit fell down, he became unconscious and fell down there. Mahaprabhu did not even look behind. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, son of name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is called as Gadadhara Prananatha. He is the life and soul of Gadadhar Pandit. But Mahaprabhu did not get carried away by Gadadhar Pandit's pure spiritual affection. Gadadhar Pandit had a spiritual affection towards Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu had so much affection towards Gadadhar Pandit. But Mahaprabhu was focused on his mission, focused on his purpose. He did not actually, he apparently showed hard-heartedness. But Kaviraj Goswami says that it is very difficult to understand the hearts of a great soul. Sometimes the great souls, they are harder than a thunderbolt and sometimes they are softer than a rose. And Mahaprabhu went forward in both these occasions. Another example, how, like, people are focused on their purpose, focused on their service. Because here Bharat Maharaj is getting distracted from the very purpose for which he actually renounced everything and he came to the forest to perfect his spiritual life. But he is getting distracted from his compassion towards the deer. For example, in the episode of Prithu Maharaj, he saw that all his citizens were starving out of hunger. At that time, he thought for a long time and he could understand the cause of the whole problem is that the earth is not producing the food grains. And then he took up his bow and arrow to attack the earth. Prithu Maharaj, and then the earth at that time, in order to attract the sympathy of Prithu, the earth took the form of a cow and then started running. And Prithu Maharaj, although he saw the form of a cow, but he did not get carried away by the external form of the cow. He was focused on his duty that I must feed the starving citizens. In fact, Prithu went to such an extent, Prithu told the earth, if you are not going to produce food grains for my starving citizens, I will kill you and I will feed the citizens with the flesh of your body. So Prithu Maharaj did not get carried away by the external form of the cow, the earth which had taken the form of a cow. So Prithu Maharaj is focused on his service. Many times when a person is practicing spiritual life, different things can distract. The distraction can come in the form of a deer, like Bharat Maharaj, or some affection towards sometimes some other person or some other devotee, or that may, sometimes it can distract a person from one service also. So one has to be focused on the purpose. At the same time, one should not be hard-hearted. Like, yeah, apparently Mahaprabhu exhibited hard-heartedness when Sarvam Bhattacharya fainted, Gadadhar Pandit fainted. But internally, his affection towards them did not actually deteriorate at all. Internally, he had that affection towards them. Like another example of Hanumanji. Hanumanji, when he was going to Lanka, so the Mainak Parvat wanted to render service to Hanuman. Mainak Parvat came to the airways and then told Hanumanji that you must be really tired, like flying. Can you please take some rest on me? I also have a debt towards you, because long back your father protected me from the wrath of Indra. Because you are the Vayuputra, I want to render some service to you. I want to show my gratitude to Vayu. The Mainak Parvat wanted to render some service to Hanumanji, but Hanumanji, he said, in that he acknowledged Mainak Parvat's attitude and he went on with his mission. So sometimes certain comforts or certain facilities can distract from one service. So Hanumanji did not want to get distracted. At the same time, Hanumanji, he was not harsh towards Mainak Parvat. He acknowledged her service by speaking, by speaking good about Mainak Parvat, and then he went ahead. Another example of having focus on one's purpose, like when Krishna was brought by Akrura to Mathura. Akrura requested Krishna, please come to my house. And Kubja also requested Krishna to come to her house. But Krishna was focused on his mission. My first mission is to kill Kamsa. Although they were so affectionate, Akrura and Kubja, but Krishna, he said, yeah, I will come, but not now. So he was focused on his mission of killing Kamsa. He did not allow that affection towards the devotees, Akrura and Kubja, to distract him from his mission of establishing Dharma, which involves actually killing all the demoniac people. So this is another example of focus. And another example we can see from Krishna's life also. Sometimes one can get distracted because of some facilities or somebody's affection. Or sometimes one can get distracted because of certain enmity towards a person. There can be different emotions can distract a person from one's mission. When Krishna was fighting with Jarasandha, Jarasandha came with a huge, I think some 21 Akshavini divisions of soldiers or something like that, 21, some huge this one. And Krishna killed the entire army of Jarasandha, but except Jarasandha. So to kill such a huge army, you can imagine how much anger one should have shown. It requires so much of violence is involved. And generally when a person gets involved in violence, like for example, Dhruva Maharaj, when he went to fight with the Yakshas, he got carried away by that fighting with the Yakshas. He was right in actually fighting with the Yakshas because his brother was killed by Yaksha. But the anger is such that one can get carried away by the anger that one can lose track of his purpose. He went into the excessive side of anger. He went on to kill so many yakshas, although one yaksha killed his brother. But Krishna annihilated the entire army of Jarasandha, but except Jarasandha. Because Krishna understood this Jarasandha is so enthusiastic that he collects all the demoniac population from the earth in order to fight with me. So let me kill everyone except Jarasandha, because Jarasandha will collect everyone and then it will become easy for me to achieve my mission of getting rid of the demonic population from the earth. So Krishna displayed his quality of being lazy intelligent. Krishna used Jarasandha's enthusiasm to collect so many armies, and then in that way Krishna did not have to go everywhere to kill all the demonic population. Jarasandha would collect and then he would kill everyone except Jarasandha. So Krishna did not allow his personal enmity with Jarasandha in getting distracted from his mission of establishing Dharma. If he had got carried away by his personal enmity with Jarasandha, he would have killed Jarasandha in the very first attempt. Then it would have become more difficult. It would have become more difficult for Krishna to get rid of all the demonic population. He would have to go to so many places. So, but Krishna used anger as a tool. Because Krishna's anger is a transcendental platform. He used anger as a tool to kill everyone except Jarasandha. Because the living entity has limitations. Living entity gets carried away by the anger. Living entity gets carried away by the mundane compassion. We see, for example, when you talk about real compassion, so Maya is when we equate compassion to the body and mind to the compassion to the soul. So definitely we have to show compassion to the body and mind sometimes, unless a person's physical needs are taken care of or emotional needs are taken care of, one cannot think about the higher goal of life. But at the same time, one should not become so caught up in the bodily compassion that we forget, we fail to actually raise them to the spiritual platform. So when we equate compassion to the body and mind to the compassion to the soul, and that is called Maya. So sometimes in the name of being transcendental, we may become hard-hearted towards a person's material problems. For example, one of the items of sadhana bhakti, 64 items of sadhana bhakti, Rupa Goswami describes that akarpanyam, that means one should not be miserly while discharging devotional service. One of the things is like one should not exhibit miserliness. Miserliness is very contaminating to the devotee. This miserliness can be in one's behavior, or miserliness can be in one's wealth or in one's effort. So like when another devotee comes to meet us, the devotee should stand up and care for the devotee attentively. But apart from the devotees, we should also give general respect and gift to the Brahmanas, even though they may not be Vaishnavas per se. A devotee should give respect to the Brahmanas. And a devotee should give proper clothing and shelter to his dependents. Some people are serving as some maid servants or somebody. A devotee should not show miserliness in taking care of them. One should do the needful. For example, in the Bharat Milap section is one of the highly emotional section in the Ramayana. Ram and Bharat meeting in Chitrakoot, such profound exchanges of love exhibited by both of them. But at the same time, in that meeting between Ram and Bharat, although there are so much spiritual emotions involved, within those spiritual emotions, Ram is actually instructing Bharat about the duties of a king, in great detail about the duties of a king. And in fact, in one place he says that as a king, you must give the salary to the people serving under you. You must give the salary in time. You must give good amount of food to the people who are serving under you. So even this kind of, and he talks about what kind of ministers you should have. There is a detailed section about the Raja Dharma, duties of the king. Although there are spiritual emotions are within that, the responsibility of a king, that also comes. So a devotee should actually give proper enumeration to the dependents. One should not be so miserly, otherwise he will be contaminated with the miserliness. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that a devotee should pay taxes to the king. Sometimes one can become, currently most of the governments are corrupt. But still, sometimes some people may be doing good also. But sometimes one may become too miserly in paying taxes, or may try to do some malpractice when government also has to run, isn't it? And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that a devotee should show gratitude to the benefactors, give food to the poor, medicine to the sick, and clothe to those suffering from cold weather. In that way, when we see people going through some basic physical problems, one should do the needful. If he treats anyone in the world properly, then the fault of miserliness will not arise. And suppose if we are miserly towards somebody, and that miserliness attitude will also affect our devotional service. So by proper speech, by wealth, by his own labor, a devotee should behave generously with others. And lack of proper behavior is forbidden for the devotee. In that way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about some general acts of kindness. He mentions this as part of devotional service, one of the items of sadhana bhakti. So sometimes in the name of transcendence, we may become hard-hearted towards others. And sometimes we may become caught up in the material needs of the people, that we may get distracted from the goal of life, or we may equate satisfying their material needs with the devotional service, or with the, we may equate the material compassion towards the spiritual compassion. So there has to be a balance between them. So for example, so when you talk about the philanthropy, like Prabhupada says in one purport, that Isopanishad explains, there is no harm in being a philanthropist, altruist, capitalist, or a nationalist, or a communist, provided one can dotale in Krishna, according to Ishavasya principle, or according to in Krishna consciousness. So one can be even a philanthropist, but one should dotale in Krishna's service. Yat karoshi yadashnasi, yat juhoshi tadasi yat, yat tapasyasi kaunteya tatkurushu madarpana. Whatever charity you give away, do it as an offering to me. That's what Krishna says. That is philanthropy dotale in Krishna's service. In fact, even the spirit of nationalism can also be dotale in Krishna's service. Nationalism, that's what Prabhupada says in his Upanishad purport. In fact, he explains that just like Krishna is all-pervading, the Krishna consciousness movement should also be all-pervading. So Krishna consciousness movement should touch everything, including politics, sociology, everything if required. Because the very nature of Krishna is all pervading. Krishna was born in Vrindavan, but he went to Mathura. Like, he was born in Mathura, he went to Vrindavan. And then from jail, he went to Vrindavan. And then he came to Mathura. And then he went to Dwaraka. And then if you see the life of Krishna, Krishna simply expanded his influence all over the universe. From Dwaraka, he went to heavenly planets. He went to Prag Jyotishpur. He went to Mithila. He went to lower planets. In this way, Krishna expanded his influence everywhere. That is the all-pervading aspect of Krishna. That is the core nature of Krishna. So similarly, Krishna consciousness should also become all-pervading in all the fields. So there is no problem that somebody dovetailing one's propensity for, say, nationalism or philanthropy or altruism in Krishna consciousness. But many times in dovetailing some propensity, it should be done under the superior guidance. And when we are dovetailing certain propensity, we should not get distracted from our basic sadhana and from our association with the devotees. Otherwise, in trying to dovetail our propensity, we can get carried away by that propensity. For example, suppose a person appoints a maid servant. There are so many household works for the assistance of the wife. A person appoints a maid servant, and the maid servant helps the wife perform different household activities, grooming, mopping, washing vessels, everything. But in due course of time, the husband ends up having an affair with the maid servant. The maid servant was supposed to come as an assistant to the wife, but in due course of time, the person starts having an illicit affair with the maid servant. So that can also happen. Sometimes by using Yukta Vairagya principle, we may try to, by following the Yukta Vairagya principle, we may try to use certain technology, or we may try to use philanthropy, or we may try to use something in Krishna's service. But if our connection with our sadhana, if the connection with the devotees is not strong, and if we don't have a certain basic level of vairagya, in following the Yukta Vairagya principle by trying to use something in Krishna's service, we can become more attached towards the particular tool, and we can get distracted from the main purpose. Just like the husband may become attracted towards the maid servant, and he may end up divorcing the wife itself. And that's what happened in the life of Bharat Maharaj, actually. He ended up having an affair with the deer, the maid servant, and he got distracted from his sadhana only. So therefore, that when we are dovetailing, when we are following the Yukta Vairagya principle, our connection to Krishna should be strong, and we should have a certain level of basic level of Vairagya. And another thing which we can compare between Bharat Maharaj and Jada Bharat. Bharat Maharaj thought that without him, the deer cannot be protected. Bharat Maharaj was right in protecting the deer when he saw the deer in the pitiable condition. But later, when he started taking care of the deer, and he thought that I am the savior of the deer, without me the deer cannot be protected. He became so attached to the deer. But Jada Bharat, you can see the Jada Bharat's faith in the Lord. Bharat Maharaj lacked faith in the Lord, that the Lord will protect the deer. I am not the protector, but Krishna is protecting everyone. So Bharat Maharaj lacked faith in the Lord, that the Lord will protect the deer. The Lord is the maintainer of all the living entities. He thought that I am the protector, I am the savior. But in the case of Jadabharat, when Jadabharat was about to be killed by those dacoits, and when the dacoits were about to kill Jadabharat, even then Jadabharat did not actually even make an attempt to protect himself. He did not protest at all. So that is the quality of one of the item of Saranagati, Raksha Yishyati Vishwaso, that Krishna is the protector, having faith that Krishna will protect me. So Jadabharat actually had such intense faith in the Supreme Lord. There's a contrast between Jadabharat and Bharat Maharaj. And so therefore, we have to understand our capacity to help others. So Bharat Maharaj became very sympathetic. He couldn't understand that it was impossible for him to elevate a deer to spiritual consciousness. So one has to, one sign of intelligence is the ability to solve the different problems. But another sign of intelligence is to understand the limitations of our intelligence. Brahma is the presiding deity of intelligence. But when Mother Earth approached Brahma that I am becoming overburdened with a demoniac population, Brahma could understand that it is not within my capacity to solve the problem of the earth. So Brahma went to the milk ocean and he started meditating on the Supreme Lord. Generally, intelligent people, because they are used to solving problems, they may fail to understand the limitations of their intelligence. So therefore, like Bharat Maharaj, when he was worshipping the deities, he was so much absorbed in the ecstasy in worshipping the deities, like those ecstatic symptoms were actually distracting him in the worship of the deity. But Bharat Maharaj, he started praying to the Lord, may these ecstatic symptoms not distract me from deity worship. But the same Bharat Maharaj couldn't want his spiritual emotions to distract his devotional service. Now he has fallen victim to the material emotions towards the deer, failing to understand his capacity to actually elevate the deer. So, these are several points. Of course, there are several examples, which I will not go into that. There are several examples of, we can see in the Bhagavatam, in the scriptures, where a person gets carried away by the passion, and then a person ends up giving excessive punishment to somebody. Sometimes a person gets carried away by the passion or Rajoguna, and one may give excessive punishment to somebody. Like Dhruva Maharaj giving to Yaksha, or the Prachetas burning so many trees, even the useful trees, or Janamejaya trying to kill all the snakes. Although one snake only killed Parikshit Maharaj. Shringi excessively cursing Parikshit Maharaj. Like that, many examples are there. So sometimes a person can get carried away by the Rajoguna and get carried away by the excessive punishment. And then sometimes a person can get carried away by the Sattva Guna. How? One can get carried away by the excessive compassion. Compassion is a quality in Sattva Guna. But even Sattva Guna can distract a person from devotional service. That is why Krishna says to Arjuna, Tatra Sattvam Nirmalatvat Prakashaka Manamayam Sukasangena Badnati Jnana Sangena Janaga. The quality of Sattva Guna is that happiness and knowledge. But do not be attached to Sattva Guna. That's what Krishna says to Arjuna. So sometimes a person can get carried away with excessive compassion. Bharat Maharaj towards the deer. Shaubari Muni's compassion towards the fishes. Bhishma showed excessive compassion towards the Kauravas. He did not punish the Kauravas, even after knowing that the Kauravas attempted to burn the Pandavas in that house of lack, Dhritarashtra's compassion towards his sons. Shukracharya, instead of chastising and correcting his daughter Devayani, but he ended up demanding from Vrishaparva that you must fulfill the desires of my daughter. Or Vishwamitra showing compassion to Trishanku. This compassion, he wanted to somehow elevate Trishanku to heaven, although Trishanku was not qualified. So sometimes a person may show excessive compassion. The compassion can be rendered distracted with the compassion. So the balance between compassion and the punishment, that requires a spiritual intelligence. And there are so many examples of how devotees balanced between compassion and mercy, compassion and punishment. Like Arjuna giving punishment to Ashwatthama. Mahaprabhu punished Chota Haridas and also elevated Chota Haridas. Krishna punished Putana by giving intense pain for a moment and also showed mercy to Putana by elevating her to the position of a nurse. There are so many examples which I will not go into the detail, but we can see this principle, how a person can get distracted even with the sattva-guna quality of compassion. So there are three types. One is misplaced affection, unplaced affection, and rightly placed affection. Unplaced affection means sometimes a person becomes so frustrated with everything in life and a person just wants to annihilate his personal identity. Some jnanis or mayavadis or something, they just want to get rid of the personal identity, attain just sayujya mukti. That is called as unplaced affection. They don't want to place their affection on anything. That is why Krishna says, Vita raga baya krodha manmaya ma mupashrita bhagavo jnana tapasa puta madbhava magata. Vita raga baya krodha, that means one should baya, that means one should get rid of the fear of a fear of a spiritual personal identity. Sometimes a person may think, oh, even in a liberated stage, if I get a personal identity, again miseries will continue. So one may have a fear of a personal identity. So one should go beyond that. That's what Krishna explains, that fourth chapter. So unplaced affection means that jnanis, they don't want to place affection on anything. And then there is misplaced affection. Misplaced affection means when we become overly attached to the things of this world or the people of this world. And that is the example of Bharat Maharaj. That is the example of Dhritarashtra towards his sons. So misplaced affection is this. People generally misplace their affection on temporary objects or temporary relations. And then there is rightly placed affection. Rightly placed affection is to place our affection on the Supreme Lord. And that is what Bhishma Dev says in the Bhagavatam. Iti matir upakalpita vitrishna bhagavati sattvata pungave vibhumni swasukam upagate kvachid vihartum prakriti mupeyushi yad bhava pravaha. Bhishma Dev said that, let me now invest my thinking, feeling and willing, which were so long engaged in different subjects and occupational duties. But now I want to focus all my thinking, feeling and willing in the all-powerful Supreme Lord Krishna. And that is why the Bhishma Dev defines what is prema. Bhishma Dev says in the Nectar of Devotion, according to Bhishma Dev, love means reposing one's affection completely upon one person, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, withdrawing all affinities for any other person. Yeah, with all the other persons, we have to perform our duties responsibly in Krishna consciousness. But ultimately, when you talk about the subject of love, love is actually, ultimately it is meant only for Krishna. Or Krishna and his devotees, Guru, this thing. In other relations, one has to perform the duties responsibly in Krishna consciousness. So, therefore, rightly placed affection means that focusing one's affection on the Supreme Personality of God. And one such example of a person who placed his affection on the Supreme Personality of God, it is Raghunath Das Goswami. And Raghunath Das Goswami attained the shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because of the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. So today is the Panihatti festival. The Panihatti festival, Raghunath Das Goswami, he was, right from his childhood, he was actually attracted to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because many times Haridas Thakur or Balaram Acharya, they would come to his house and then speak about the Lord. Right from the childhood, he was greatly attracted to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But later he got married. Although he had so much of wealth like Indra, his wife was so beautiful and submissive, but he was strongly attracted to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He had a deep calling within him for renunciation. When Raghunath Das Goswami met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Shantipur, Mahaprabhu told Raghunath Das Goswami, do not be like a Markata Vairagi. Said that you must externally perform your duties very responsibly, but internally you actually keep the spirit of renunciation. Sometimes the monkeys, they externally exhibit lot of detachment. They don't even wear clothes. But internally they actually, they are filled with lust. So Mahaprabhu said that, just like suppose a woman is attached to a paramour, some man apart from the husband, the women will perform all the duties so responsibly, such that the husband will not even come to know that the wife is attached to some other man. So Mahaprabhu told that, you must perform your duties so responsibly that immediately try to renounce, and it will happen gradually. Krame krame, he said, just like when you are swimming in the river or a ocean, when a person tries to swim very fast, especially when he has to swim across a large distance, when he tries to go very fast, then he will become very tired, and then he may become fearful, and then he may get drowned. So slowly and steadily, so krame krame, you must practice renunciation slowly and steadily, Mahaprabhu said. And Raghunath Das Goswami, when Nityananda Prabhu came to his place, and Raghunath Das Goswami arranged chida dahi prasadam. Chipped rice is a very common food available in Bengal. Chipped rice mixed with, one portion of the chipped rice was mixed with dahi and kela, bananas and other dry fruits, and then another portion of the chipped rice was mixed with the condensed milk. And he served so many Vaishnavas who came along with Nityananda Prabhu. He actually utilized all his wealth to serve all the Vaishnavas. And Nityananda Prabhu became so pleased with Raghunath Das Goswami. And by the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, later Raghunath Das Goswami could actually attain the shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Raghunath Das Goswami, later he actually got out of his family life, and then he came to Jagannath Puri. And in Jagannath Puri, Raghunath Das Goswami was leading the life of a mendicant. But he gradually increased his level of renunciation. Initially, when he was taking some, his parents came to know that he was living in Jagannath Puri, and they were supplying certain money to Raghunath Das Goswami. And Raghunath Das Goswami was taking that money but you was utilizing that money to serve the other Vaishnavas. But after some time, he stopped taking that money from his father, and then he was begging by standing at the Simhadwara. He was begging food by standing in Simhadwara. And then after some time, Raghunath Das Goswami increased his level of renunciation, because Raghunath Das Goswami thought that, so when I am begging in the Simhadwara, I develop a calculative mentality. Maybe this person will give today, or this person will not give me. This person will give only this much. So my mind has becoming very calculative about how much people will give. So then he stopped begging, and then he would go to the marketplace in Jagannath Puri. Whatever is left over in the marketplace, he would collect that, and then he would accept that as a prasad. But after some time, he increased his level of renunciation even further. There would be a place where the leftover prasad from the marketplace would be thrown, and the cows would come and eat that rice, and the cows would leave behind a certain rice, and Raghunath Das Goswami would go there, and what was left over even by the cows, he would remove the outer portion, which is hard. The inner portion, some soft inner portion would be there. He would wash that and he would eat that. And when Mahaprabhu heard about this levels of renunciation of Raghunath Das Goswami, he was so pleased actually. So just like Raghunath Das Goswami increased his level of devotional service, so similarly, as a person progresses, one's level of commitment in whatever our duties, our devotional service, different aspects, we should introspect whether it is increasing. Are we becoming more attracted? Are we becoming more responsible? Are we becoming more focused? Or are we becoming more and more distracted? Huh. So in the case of Bharat Maharaj, he entered the forest to perform intense devotional service, and his intensity of devotional service was increasing. But after the deer came into his life, then his devotional service was becoming increasingly distracted from his devotional service. So Raghunath Das Goswami's life is an example how he did not get distracted from the purpose. He became his devotional service went on increasing to the higher and higher levels. Is the principles of say renunciation or devotional service, it went on increasing more and more, and he could achieve that by the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, by the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, and by serving all the Vaishnavas, he actually got the shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are some things which I wanted to say about today's Panigatti festival. So I'll stop here. If anybody has any comments or questions, we'll just take.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for the very, very beautiful class. There were so many examples you pointed, Prabhuji, for the how we have to put our attachment and affection on the proper place, and also displaced affection and misplaced affection, and also properly placed affection, and so many examples you had, so many at the attachment that so the anxiety that we have spiritually is good, but materially is bad, like compassion or passion, whatever mode we are, that we should we can try to dovetail, but we should be very careful that we should have a certain level of you said something like we should have a certain level of vairagya.
In order to practice yukta vairagya, one has to have a certain level of vairagya, and one has to have a certain level of connection with Krishna.
Connection. So my question, want to ask a question, Prabhuji, like how even if a person is keep on, is in a, by nature, he is in a passion and keep on dovetailing his nature in devotional service, and until at the end of life, still he has not come out of that nature, is there a chance that without coming out of these three modes, he is able to go back to the Godhead?
Yeah, unless a person, as long as we have the material body, we have different propensities according to our psychophysical nature, and they have to be dovetailed in Krishna's service. And as we dovetail them in Krishna's service and also execute our sadhana bhakti, and depending on how a person is focused, and it is a, it may not be in this lifetime, or it may be after a few lifetimes or something. So one shouldn't be worried too much about, say, going back to Godhead in this lifetime, because we should focus on more on what is within our hand, because something going back to Godhead or something, ultimately it is Krishna. When Krishna decides to take us, Krishna will never fail in his mission. He will never commit a mistake in taking a person. So we have to focus on what is within our hand. So and that is why our sadhana association, and at the same time we also dovetail our propensities to the Lord's service according to our nature.
Okay, Prabhuji. So we should just concentrate on the process and do not worry about what is going to happen like that. Thank you. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. And I request devotees, yeah, Sumit. Prabhuji, you can ask your questions.
Sure. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. It was a wonderful class, Prabhu, but I am a professor, and I always keep having this doubt, when to basically raise the rod and when to show compassion. It's very difficult to draw the balance. And you mentioned that we should have spiritual intelligence, but, how to increase the spiritual intelligence and how to know where to draw the line, Prabhu?
See, it is a our life is such that many times it's an ongoing learning experience. Spiritual intelligence, broadly speaking, we develop the spiritual intelligence by regular touch with the Shastra and by learning from the lives of other devotees, how they applied different principles. And the basis of how to balance between compassion and punishment, essentially only a mature person can perfectly balance between a compassion and punishment. But how to develop the maturity develops by performing our sadhana very attentively, and also, because in one class, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was asked this question. One devotee asked that sometimes we have to correct a certain devotee for a certain behavior. But if we correct that person becomes he becomes angry, or he becomes, our relationship gets spoiled. And if we don't correct that person, that person continues with the mistakes and the others get affected. So how do we know when to correct or when to not correct, just like you are asking this question. So Maharaj mentioned that there is no substitute for maturity. He said that when to correct or when not to correct, when to show compassion, it all comes from maturity. And then he mentioned that how to become mature. He said the basis of maturity is that when a person takes a sincere shelter of the chanting of the holy names And when a person cultivates a sincere attitude of being a servant of the devotees, and that is the basis of cultivating maturity. That's what he mentioned. So essentially, I would say that we can observe our sadhana, our services, and also studying the lives of the contemporary devotees, how they have applied the different principles. And then we learn, and definitely we may sometimes may commit mistakes, but as we keep applying, but we learn from those mistakes. It's like driving a cycle. Sometimes you may fall this side, or sometimes you may fall other side. But don't stop driving the cycle. When you keep driving the cycle, as time progresses, then you learn to balance. Because life is more complicated than simply driving a cycle. But when we keep trying to apply the principles, sometimes we may go on one side, sometimes we may go on other side. But at least as long as we remain accessible to, say, maybe other devotees, they may try to point out, okay, you are going in this side. You are going more excessive in the compassion side. Sometimes in temple, I see somebody was correcting somebody, and then he became a little more harsh. That person ended up crying, actually. So we could see that he is going in the very stronger side of correction. That correction is required, but the other person was completely, he started crying, etc. So, but at least when you are accessible to other people, others are there to point out, okay, you are going in the excessive side of compassion or excessive side of punishment. So that is also one of the reasons, because in the case of Bharat Maharaj, he was not accessible to other devotees. There was nobody to correct him. So therefore, when he got distracted, he ultimately became the deer. But because devotional service is not lost, he again became Jada Bharat and perfected his life.
Yes, Prabhu. Wonderful answer, Prabhu.
Thank you,
Prabhuji. Thank you so much for the answer. I request Parima Mataji, you can go ahead with your question.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Please accept my humble obeisances. My question is in the same context as what you mentioned right now. Mm-hmm. Prabhuji, this thing has always kind of perplexed me that Chota Haridas basically had to commit suicide. So wasn't that very harsh? He was not given a chance to kind of correct himself and become a better established devotee in that same lifetime. So I don't know, can you explain that?
Yeah, definitely Chota Haridas' example is not to be imitated. Prabhupada also clearly mentioned that somebody, sometimes a devotee commits a mistake. It's not that one has to go to the extent of committing suicide like Chota Haridas. But what we learn from Chota Haridas, how Mahaprabhu was dealing with Chota Haridas, Mahaprabhu was on one level, he was very harsh towards Chota Haridas. The devotees were repeatedly requesting Mahaprabhu to give his audience to Chota Haridas. But Mahaprabhu said that if you again ask me that I will leave Jagannath Puri, I will not come back only. So Mahaprabhu punished Chota Haridas, but he also elevated Chota Haridas. He became the associate of Mahaprabhu. So when we talk about punishment, the principle of punishment is that the purpose of punishment is to elevate a person. If the punishment does not elevate a person, then that is not a true punishment. The punishment should only elevate a person, and the punishment should be always, it should be in proportion to the mistake committed. So the several examples of excessive punishment, excessive compassion, the punishment or the compassion, they were disproportionate to the particular act. But when Krishna gives punishment, or when his matured representatives give punishment, they are always in proportion to the mistake committed, and they are done in such a way that a person gets elevated. So therefore, when we actually, many times we focus on Mahaprabhu's punishment to Chota Haridas, but Mahaprabhu also elevated Chota Haridas.
Prabhuji, how did he elevate? Can you explain that, Prabhuji?
Because Chota Haridas, he got a spiritual body, and he would come to sing for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu would go to the beach, Chota Haridas would come to sing for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Okay.
Mahaprabhu accepted service actually from Chota Haridas. He didn't, because of committing suicide, he didn't become a ghost, or he did not remain in a material body. He got a spiritual body, and he became an eternal associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, performing kirtan for him.
That explains. Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji, for the beautiful question. And I request Deepika. Mataji, you can go ahead. Eternally indebted, Prabhuji, for today's lecture. It's not a question, but just wanted to comment on something. Like how beautifully you explained about how Krishna, he showers punishment and compassion on Putna. You spoke very nicely about Hanumanji performing his duty. So similarly, like how Prithvi Maharaj, he was, when Mother Earth did not want to give grains, and he said that he would take the flesh, to give the supplies. Similarly, as Lord Varadev, he saved Mother Earth, So both compassion and punishment. Like, can we understand that way?
What's the last point you said?
Yeah, I said that as like how you were speaking about punishment and compassion. So similarly, as Prithvi Maharaj, he wanted to punish Mother Earth. But as, Krishna as Varadev, he uplifted Mother Earth, he saved Mother Earth. So that was compassion. And as Prithvi Maharaj, he wanted to punish. So is it right to understand that way?
Because Prithvi Maharaj, because he had to perform his duty toward the citizens, feeding them. Ultimately, Prithvi Maharaj considered Mother Earth as his daughter. That's how the Bhagavatam describes. So, the point I was trying to say is that how Prithvi Maharaj, he didn't get carried away by the external form which Mother Earth took, that the form of a cow. Like here, Bharat Maharaj got carried away by the form of a deer. That was the point I tried to make.
Okay, thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you, Mataji. And I request now Vamshidhari Gopal Prabhuji, you can go ahead with your question. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Please accept my senses. So, Prabhuji, in class you mentioned about that we should not be miser. So, I have the conception, like, it's very easy to understand in the wealth part, but you also mentioned about other aspects of being miser. So can you quote some more example, like how we can be miser by our mind or by our behavior, so that it allows me to practice better?
Say, for example, say sometimes like one may keep bargaining some ordinary people who are selling some certain things in the roadside or something like that. Somebody is selling some vegetables. We may buy some costly gadget, but we may end up bargaining a lot with some ordinary vegetable seller. So we may show miserliness there, actually. Or sometimes, a few months back, I was visiting some temples in South India. And then, so when we visited the temple, there were so many beggars outside the temple. And then there was another devotee was there. And the devotee said, I heard in the class, and that the speaker was telling that don't feed the beggars, because you don't know what they are utilizing the money for. don't actually give anything to the beggar, like that the devotee was telling. But then I mentioned that we are coming in the, because I was going with some few more devotees, we are coming in this car, and then we are coming to take the darshan, and then we are coming in the car, and then like these beggars are poor really. There may be sometimes they may utilize the money for wrong purpose, but we should give us some benefit of doubt. We should give prasadam. We should tell them to chant the holy name. We don't have, at least to give some money, and it's not that everybody is going to misuse or sometimes we may fail to show some basic acts of kindness when you go to some holy place. Sometimes people keep asking. Like I saw Janani was Prabhu, Pankajangari Prabhu, one devotee was quoting. Janani was Prabhu or Pankajangari Prabhu, they were going on some yatra or something. And then every place they were going, they were giving some money to some beggars or some, the temple they were putting some Lakshmi. That devotee was asking that, why you are putting in every place money, this one. And Janani was Prabhu or Pankajangari Prabhu, whoever was there, they told that, it is also, as a Brahmana, it is also our duty to not only to accept charity, but also to give charity. And so they had planned beforehand, okay, they are going on to different temples. Every place I should give some Lakshmi. They came up with some Lakshmi, and then they gave to every temple, every place, some beggars or this thing. So these are some basic acts of kindness we should definitely practice. And otherwise, our heart can become hard, and that hard-heartedness can affect our devotional service also.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. And for body, I understood that being miser by body means that we don't try to do the basic acts which we should do. Like you said, the example that being lazy not to even get up. So that I understood, right? Like from our body, we should try to act whatever is in our capacity physically. Use this body and not being miser, overly miser, to not use our body even though we are fine and capable.
Mm.
Okay. Thank you.
Somebody is going to a temple, and on the way to the temple he sees that somebody has met with like a severe accident, and then he just helps that person, gets admitted to the hospital, and then after that whole thing, then by the time he reaches the temple, the whole program is over. But this is one case. And then from he saw somebody in dire need, and then he helped that person. And then, okay, he reached the temple late. But on the other hand, another person, every Sunday, he takes his vehicle and goes all around the city and see whether somebody has met with an accident. And then he makes that saving the people on the material bodily level, makes that as a mission, and he forgets to go to the temple only. That is going to the another extreme. And one extreme is that when you see that somebody is in dire need, you don't do the basic help, and then that is one extreme.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Like this particular topic has become so clear today, because as you said, like I was always having this confusion in my mind again and again that what we should do, what we should not do. But now today it's become very clear that if anything comes to us, like Krishna present any opportunity or any situation to us, then without getting deviated or overly attached to it, we should do whatever needful by our body, mind, wealth and thoughts we can do. We should definitely do that, but without affecting our ulterior goal and without any ulterior motive that by doing that, I will get something. So I think that is the essence I am taking up.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for the very nice question. Thank you, Prabhuji, for the very beautiful answer today. All the question answer session was also very nice. The lecture overall, it really made us think about it, and the thought process was kindled, Prabhuji. Thank you. Thank you so much for the deep lecture today. So if there are no questions or... Yes, Mataji, go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for the beautiful class and very, very nice examples. The example of maid servants I like very much, because you know sometimes we get carried away with our gadgets, you know, we use in Krishna service, but sometimes we see what is there and just it time goes away. So thank you so much, Prabhuji, for all your examples and very nicely you put in. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Very nice class. And the answers are also very nice. Thank you. To the
point.
Yes, Prabhuji, when pay obeisances to Prabhuji and all the Vaishnavas, Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha, Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha, Patitana Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha, Anantakoti Vaishnavrandh Ki Jai, Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Sri Radha Vallabh Prabhuji Ki Jai, Tai Gaur Pramanande Hari Hari Bo, Thank you, Vishnu Prabhu.